Lee Carsley has been named, although I'm not sure.
He's not coming now, is he?
Well, that's the thing. Or Big Sam is the other one.
It's always Big Sam, isn't it?
OTB AM live weekday mornings from 7:30 on the OTB Sports app.
Welcome along to Off the Ball. We will be going live to Slieve Russell in a few minutes' time in Cavan to hear from Europe's rookie hero in the Solheim Cup, Leona Maguire. She has got her homecoming. We'll be talking to our reporter Ash O'Reilly about that homecoming, which is just underway. We're also going to be joined in the next hour by Jonathan Walters to review the Republic of Ireland's games in this international window. Still awaiting a first competitive win under Stephen Kenny, but a decent performance, particularly in the closing stages of the game last night in a 1-1 draw against Serbia. We'll get Jonathan's reflections on the last 7 days. And we will be hearing from the last All-Ireland winner to play for Mayo. Spoiler, he didn't win the All-Ireland while playing for Mayo, but the last player to play for them. We'll hear from Sean Lowry just after 8 o'clock. Richie McCormack is here along with me. Richie, how are you getting on? Can you hear me, Rich?
I can indeed, William. Can you hear me?
I can hear you perfectly now, yeah.
There we go.
We're going to be talking a lot of Republic of Ireland. We've got David Sneyd on the football show. A lot to break down. Potentially Caoimhín Kelleher playing for Liverpool this weekend if Alisson isn't allowed play for them against Leeds in our live game on Off the Ball on Sunday afternoon. All that to look forward to. But your assessment, Richie, of what we saw last night. My take on it is that this was a lot like the Ireland performances of old. A goalkeeper and defenders play particularly well. We ride our luck a little bit along the way. And then Ireland have a grandstand finish and rescue a 1-1 draw. Not too dissimilar to some of the results that we would have celebrated over the years.
Yeah, but also there was, again, shoots to show that we are able to be a bit more composed on the ball, and there are certain players that are able to do that better than most, it would seem. Andrew Omabamadeli had an exceptional first Republic of Ireland start last night. Gavin Bazunu, playing in front of fans for just the second time in an Ireland jersey, had a remarkable game as well. It's just that case that we do have a really good defence. Matt Doherty had probably his best week in an Ireland jersey, I think, that he's had so far in his career. Gavin Bazunu has had an incredible week. Andrew Omabamadeli stepped up. I thought Shane Duffy and John Egan have been rock solid. James McLean had his best international in probably in about three years last night, and I don't think that should be ignored, and I wouldn't be the biggest fan of James McLean's continuing in the Republic of Ireland side, but he was great last night. But the problem is that there's no creativity in midfield, and there's no one to, you know, convert chances that we do manage to create up front, and that's going to continue to be a problem. But as long as the back four, back five and back six, if you want to throw in Bazunu as goalkeeper, keep performing, then we're going to have a platform to remain in games. And nothing's been a hammering throughout the course of this group. You have to remember that. I know the results against Luxembourg and Azerbaijan were impressive, but against Serbia we have picked up one point out of possible six. But there's only one goal between the two sides over the course of those two matches. They were exceptional over Belgrade. I thought they were pretty good last night. And against Portugal as well, like, that performance this time last week really shouldn't be put in the bin as quickly as I think it has been by a lot of people, because that showed that Ireland away from home can put it up to some of the very best nations in the world. There's a long way to go before we can start talking about qualifying for groups. And that's okay, like, because, as mentioned last night, goal scorers don't, you know, materialise out of thin air, and creative midfielders don't just drop out of the sky. These things have to be brought along. But I thought Dan McDonald had a brilliant point earlier on AM, where the progression of Bazunu and Omabamadeli to the starting 11 under Kenny is something in itself to be admired, because under previous managers, and I remember having this conversation with Kevin Kilbane in the studio, whereby talking about blooding players in World Cup qualifiers was almost a no-no, because what if something went wrong and they'd have to carry that on their shoulders forever, and this generation is well able for that kind of thing. Like, we could still have Declan Rice in an Ireland jersey if one of the previous managers wasn't so cautious about blooding him in competitive games. So I think the more and the deeper the pool we have for international games going forward, the more promising the next 5 to 10 years can be.
All right, more Republic of Ireland anon in a few moments. We'll be hearing from Stephen Kenny on the news round too. But delighted to say that we can go across now to Aisling O'Reilly, who's in Cavan at Slieve Russell. And Aisling, looking at the crowd behind, for anyone who's joining us on our social channels, a big crowd has come out to welcome home their new hero in Leona Maguire, Europe's hero at the Solheim Cup this year.
Oh, it's amazing, Will, it really is. They've all came out, they were all singing a song at the minute. They're just sort of doing the speeches. Her dad is speaking at the minute. Declan, you can hear him in the background, and her mom, Breda, is about to get up as well. I think she's just overwhelmed. You know, I was just speaking to her as she walked in, and she's just literally speechless, you know, at the amount of people that have turned out. She arrived on the back of a fire truck and a BMW open top, and then all her friends and family just in cars all behind her. I don't know if you can see it.
Yeah.
Just all here. Yeah. So all the cars came beeping behind her, and yeah, the roads were lined with flags and just all the fans, supporters, and obviously her friends and family as well. So it's just amazing.
I always think, Ashling, these are the particularly special moments for an athlete to soak in when they go back to their own people and those who were there on their ascent. And like Leona Maguire, I think, has got so much potential to kick on after this Solheim Cup performance. She's been great in some of the major tournaments on the women's tour this year, still a rookie on the ladies PGA Tour, but flying with her form, and here she is now going back to soak in the moment with the people who are there all along.
Absolutely. And the general manager was just speaking here, Tony, of the Sleeve Russell, and he just said, you know, I watched her since she was 9-10 years of age, and like, I knew her and Lisa were special. I knew they were going to do something. You know, it was hail, rain or snow, they were out here on the course. Everybody always talked about them, and they just live about a mile out the road. I just went by the house on the way as well. So, yeah, it's really special. It's a really special story. And as you said, Will, I think this is just the start. You know, she had a massive amateur career. We've seen her take her time before she went professional. She's been so successful as it is. But I think this has just sort of put her, like, catapulted her to the top now. And she's, I think, going to show us big things to come.
I know you're going to get some interviews for OTBAM in the morning and for Golf Weekly Patreon subscribers too. I hope you get a chance to chat to her sister, Lisa, too, because I thought she was great on Sky Sports on Monday. To be there and to have your sister alongside you effectively as a mentor on the bag all the way around the Solheim Cup too, that's a special relationship those two have as well, Ashling.
Oh, it's massive, it really is. And she always mentions her, and even her dad was speaking just there and said, you know, without Lisa being with her the whole way this summer, you know, she's been a massive support. And even just growing up, the way they had that sort of healthy rivalry between each other, you know, they really pushed each other on. They talked about Lisa's long game was always a bit better than Leona's short game was a bit better, and they used to be, you know, in competition with each other. So all of those things sort of get you to where she is now, and I know she says that herself. So yeah, it's major, and what Lisa's done is just brilliant, and she's delighted for it as well.
Really special night. Looking forward to listening to those interviews both in Golf Weekly and on OTBAM. We'll let Ashling get back to enjoy the celebrations and see Russell Cavan having a huge night welcoming home Leona Maguire. We are on the news round, Richie, too. We're taking a look at all of the stories from today. A lot of it's going to be around the Republic of Ireland, but the news round is with thanks to Gillette. Put your best face forward with their new and improved razors. I'd imagine we're starting with Stephen Kenny here.
Yeah, a mention of his post-match press conference last night, because he says he continues to have a good communication with the FAI. A late own goal from Sergej Milinkovic-Savic salvaged a deserved 1-1 draw at home to Serbia in their World Cup qualifier at the Aviva Stadium, and Ireland are away to Azerbaijan next month. And Kenny feels those he's spoken to within the association have been nothing but supportive. There is action as well tonight. Northern Ireland looking to make it back-to-back wins in World Cup qualifying Group C. Ian Barraclough's side welcomes Switzerland to Windsor Park. Elsewhere, England are in Warsaw to play Poland in Group I, and both of those games kick off at 7:45. Well,
yeah, I thought you were going to say they were in Waterford there for a moment. I was getting slightly concerned. The Republic of Ireland women's team, we're talking about this friendly coming up against Australia, but you've got news about their opening qualifier being deferred.
It has indeed, yeah. Vera Pell's side were due to play away to Georgia next week in a game that would have opened their World Cup qualifying campaign. However, Georgia is on the UK's red travel list, and several members of the Ireland squad would have been forced to isolate upon their return to their clubs. Pell's going to name her squad tomorrow for the friendly that's still upcoming with Australia next week. Ireland's campaign in the World Cup qualifiers will instead begin now at home to Sweden at Tala Stadium next month.
We're going to have Denise O'Sullivan, one of the best midfielders we have across any of the Republic of Ireland squads currently.
Oh man, oh. I was just literally only thinking earlier on this afternoon what I wouldn't give for Denise O'Sullivan in the men's midfield, because the creativity that she offers the women's side and has done over the past few years is brilliant. And I'd still say that she is probably one of our best footballers across any age division or gender divide. She's absolutely incredible.
Yeah, tight spaces, best footballer that we have. Just a remarkable player if you get a chance to watch the Republic of Ireland women's team in the upcoming qualifiers, or that very interesting friendly against one of the top world sides in Australia in Tala Stadium next week. Switching to rugby, Richie, and one of the I guess longest serving administrators in the entire country is about to retire.
Yeah, really, he's overseen Ireland's development and progress under the professional regime. Philip Brown is to step down as IRFU chief executive after 23 years at the head of the association. He made the decision to coincide with his 60th birthday, but said in a statement today that he delayed leaving due to the pandemic. Brown will be replaced on an interim basis by the chief operating officer, Kevin Potts, with Corn Ferry assisting with the recruitment of a permanent replacement. But an incredible tenure. He joined the association back in 1992.
Yeah, it's a testing time for the RFU and all unions, really, with the money that's been lost with the lack of crowds over the last 18 months. So intriguing to see how the new regime are going to get on there. The Open is going back to Portrush. We're going to have Sean Lowry on, who was at Portrush in 2019, to watch his nephew Shane pick up the claret jug. And potentially, Shane Lowry could be going back in a few years' time to win it at the same venue again.
Yeah, it seems like a pretty quick turnaround, this one. The Open Championship returning to Royal Portrush in 2025. The Dunluce Lynx hosted the tournament when Lowry lifted the claret jug back in 2019. Golf Ireland among those welcoming the decision to welcome back the world's oldest golf tournament.
No Patrick Reed for the Ryder Cup.
Yeah, Captain America isn't included in Steve Stricker's US Ryder Cup team. The 2018 Masters champion wasn't among the captain's picks for the meeting with Europe at Whistling Straits. Tony Finau, Xander Schauffele, Jordan Spieth and Harris English got the nod after being the next four players on the Ryder Cup rankings list, while tournament rookies Daniel Berger and Scotty Scheffler both got the nod ahead of Reed from Captain Steve Stricker. Padraig Harrington is going to finalise his European team on Sunday night.
Seems the Tipperary are now closing in finally on making an appointment as their next hurling manager. Who is it going to be?
Colin Bonner is who it seems to be. Anyway, he's expected to be ratified as Tipperary hurling manager in the coming days. The former Carlow and Wexford manager has emerged as frontrunner to replace Liam Sheedy after Willie Maher dropped out of the running. Bonner has recently been on the coaching staff of Kilkenny club Dixborough. Liam Cahill, of course, was seemingly the frontrunner for this position. He opted to stay on with Waterford. And Dara Egan, who was part of Sheedy's backroom team and another of those names mentioned as a potential replacement for Sheedy, of course, took the reins at Wexford after Dave Fitzgerald stepped aside. So it looks like Bonner is perhaps third or fourth choice to take up the role.
Yeah, well, we'll see how this all plays out when we finally find out how detailed the discussions were between the Daoiseach and Liam Cahill, because he openly admitted that they had discussions, but he then felt that it was about loyalty to a Waterford team who'd got to an All-Ireland final the year before, and he felt there was unfinished business. But I just wonder how much of the project was put to Liam Cahill by Tipperary to go back to his native county before he decided to stay with Waterford. Matty Kenny's going nowhere though, Richie.
He isn't, no. He's going to stay on as Dublin hurling manager for at least 2022. The former Coola boss led the Dubs to a first Leinster senior hurling final appearance in 7 years earlier this summer. Dublin County Board Chair Mick Seavers said he expects to see some of the county's under-20s progress to the senior ranks under Kenny this year.
US Open, then what's happened at the tennis?
Ah, an absolutely incredible evening and incredible week continuing for Emma Raducanu. The 18-year-old is through to the US Open semi-finals. The English qualifier beat the 11th seed Belinda Bencic this evening 6-3, 6-4, and Raducanu will play the winner of tonight's quarterfinal clash of Karolina Pliskova and Maria Sakkari. Still a qualifier, don't forget, is Raducanu, and the lowest ranked player since Kim Clijsters in 2009 to reach the US Open semi-finals. Elsewhere, Flushing Meadows tonight, there's a repeat of the Wimbledon men's singles final as top seed Novak Djokovic plays the Italian Matteo Berrettini. Djokovic, of course, going for the calendar Grand Slam, and Alexander Zverev, seeded four this year, goes up against South African outsider Lloyd Harris. But an incredible turnaround for Raducanu, considering how she was forced to bow out of Wimbledon in the fourth round against Ayla Tomljanovic just a couple of months ago. Essentially, the pressure of the occasion got to her, and you look at her now, she has yet to drop a set.
Yeah.
En route to the semi-finals in New York, which is just absolutely amazing, and she's been a joy to watch throughout the course of the week so far.
Yeah, it's an intimidating record. It's a week where we've been talking about teenagers just stepping up at these big tournaments and really impressing. We've got the draw for the semi-finals of the Women's National Cup as well.
Yeah, Holders Piemont drawn at home to Wexford Youths in the semi-finals of the Evoke.ie FAI Women's Cup. The other semi is going to pit Shelburne against Galway. You alluded to this one earlier as well, Will. Premier League Chief Executive Richard Masters has written to the clubs affected by the FIFA five-day rule that their players could be free to play this weekend. Liverpool, Manchester City, Chelsea and Manchester United, and indeed Leeds, are all set to be without players who were prevented from travelling to their respective countries for international duty. But Masters has told the clubs that a resolution is in sight. Liverpool, for instance, could be without Fabinho, Roberto Firmino and Alisson should the FIFA and the Brazilian FA hold their nerve and hold this five-day rule in place. Rafinha will be missing for Leeds for that Premier League clash as well, and Queevy and Kelleher, if all that goes through, could be getting a rare start between the sticks for the Reds.
Yeah, from a purely selfish point of view, and we'll chat to David Snead about this a bit later on, I kind of hope that Alisson can't play. I kind of hope that these games aren't rearranged and that Queevy and Kelleher gets some very rare game time, because he's going to need it, Richie, if he's going to, you know, get himself back in the Ireland picture. He needs to be playing some football.
Yeah, Stephen Kenny mentioned last night that game against Qatar that's upcoming next month at the Aviva is probably going to be one that Kelleher will start, but Christ, it's an unfortunate time. Like, we always had, at one stage or another, a position where we were overloaded with talent for like decades. We had too many right backs. Like, we were trying to accommodate Steve Finn and Gary Kelly and Stephen Carr in the one squad, which is utterly impossible. And you had somebody who was as good as Alan Mabry, who was a decent player, let's not forget, not being able to get near squads. And now we've got two really good goalkeepers who are both really useful and have the chance to cement their place as Ireland number one for a decade or perhaps more. And one of them is just going to be disappointed for the vast majority of that time through, I guess, no fault of their own. And Kelleher, a rare start for him against Leeds it would be, and a welcome one, as you say, to at least make Stephen Kenny think about potentially keeping him in goal. But Gavin Bazunu, I think, has done enough over the course of these last three games to suggest that he's going to be holding on to that number one jersey
for
several games.
Incredible in his first seven games. We will have live commentary of Leeds against Liverpool on Off the Ball this coming Sunday. Also in the Irish midfield, Seamus in Cork is doing the Football Manager scout for us. Keep an eye out for Louis Watson at Derby, who he thinks is very promising. We'll take a very short break. We'll be back with Jonathan Walters after these.